When I was a member of the faculty at St. Patrick's in California, it was not uncommon on days like today to have major festivities and solemnities. Many of you may not realize this, but at our brother seminary there in California, the ethnic makeup of the house is entirely different. 25% of the seminarians at that seminary are Filipino. So you have to celebrate today. If you decided to go St. Wenceslas today, there would be a riot. So as someone of Filipino descent, it's always an honor for me to be able to say Mass publicly and also to have our only Filipino deacon, I think our only other Filipino seminarian in the entire house, assisting me this morning. St. Lorenzo Ruiz and his companions died as martyrs on or about September 27, 1637 in Nagasaki, Japan. They were beatified by St. John Paul II in 1981 in Manila and then canonized by the same pontiff in Rome in October of 1987. Lorenzo's father was Chinese and his mother was Filipino. She was Tagalog. And he received a first-rate Catholic education from the Dominicans in the Binondo section of Manila. Two dimensions of Lorenzo's martyrdom are worth noting this morning. First, he is sometimes called the accidental martyr, and I'll explain why. And second, we should take note of the reaction in Manila to news of his martyrdom and the martyrdoms of his companions, because it has much to teach us in a time when we have Catholic martyrs all over the world, especially now in Africa, the Middle East, and in China. So let's start with Lorenzo as accidental martyr. St. John Paul II called Lorenzo and his companions, but especially Lorenzo himself, the most improbable of saints. When Lorenzo boarded the ship that eventually took him and the 15 members and associates of the Dominican order, there were actually 6 laypersons and 9 members of the clergy, to Japan, he was not intending to join a missionary group that was headed for certain and grave danger. Instead, Lorenzo was actually a fugitive. He was trying to escape arrest as he was falsely accused of murdering a Spaniard in Manila. His plan was to head to the port of Macau, which is adjacent to Hong Kong, or to Taiwan, really to lay low until the dust settled in Manila regarding his case, surrounding the accusation. Macau made sense. It was a city inhabited by many Chinese Catholics who had years earlier been evangelized by the Portuguese. And given Lorenzo's Chinese Catholic background, he could blend in quite easily. So on June 10, 1636, he left his wife and 3 children behind to seek refuge abroad. It was the Dominican priest, Father Domingo Gonzalez, who arranged for Lorenzo's passage for what Lorenzo thought was a ship headed for Macau or Taiwan. However, plans changed. That ship never made it to Macau or Taiwan. It landed in Japan, and the rest, as we know, is history. It was not long before the group was arrested and condemned to death during one of the most ferocious persecutions of the faith in Japan. But something must have happened on the way there, something that remains in the hidden counsels of God. While it's true that Lorenzo was a very devout Catholic, he was a lay catechist and a member of his parish's confraternity of the Holy Rosary, he wasn't intending martyrdom when he left Manila. With our modern sensibilities, we would want to excuse Lorenzo from making this greatest of sacrifices. After all, he had a wife and kids at home waiting for him. Nevertheless, when given the chance to recant his Catholic faith under the duress of incredible torture, Lorenzo stood strong with the Lord and exclaimed, "I am a Christian and I shall die for God, and for him I would give many thousands of lives if I had them to give." We will never know what kind of spiritual preparation and grace moved Lorenzo to give that ultimate witness to the faith. but we know it happened. And a layman who never intended to be a martyr became his nation's first canonized saint. And then second, the reaction at home to the news of the martyrdoms. Accounts that detail the announcement of the martyrdoms of Lorenzo and his 15 companions state that news arrived in Manila just 2 days after Christmas in 1637, exactly 3 months after the events themselves. Remember the days before social media, when things took time and news took time to get to us? If that were happening today, we would know instantly, wouldn't we? It's interesting because the reaction in Manila was not of horror. The reaction in Manila was of joy. The faithful actually gathered in the Church of Santo Domingo and sang a solemn Te Deum, one of the most ancient hymns of praise that we have. We still sing in the breviary, a hymn of thanksgiving. We sing it on feasts and solemnities, as we know. The Filipinos in Manila were overjoyed that one of their own had been found worthy to die such a glorious death. We have lots to learn from them in our own time when Christians are being martyred in other parts of the world, as I mentioned. I rarely talk to anyone here who thinks of these current martyrdoms as nothing but senseless acts of violence against innocent human beings. And so the reaction to Lorenzo and his companion's death in Manila in 1637 has something to teach us. Do we see martyrdom as glorious? If we don't, we might ask ourselves why. Now, to be sure, there is a natural horror that one associates with such brutality. But remember, this brutality is nothing new in the history of the church. If you look at the history of the Catholic faith, even just in Asia, it is replete with martyrdoms. Every Catholic community in that continent where the faith has attempted to take root has gone through this. And even in the Philippines, that never really had a real persecution of Catholicism, the only two canonized saints from the Philippines died as martyrs overseas, one in Japan and the other in Guam. Here in the United States, by and large, we have not experienced martyrdoms. So perhaps our reaction to hearing them isn't that surprising. It's not part of our experience. But it's good for us to be reminded that the Catechism states that the martyr bears witness to Christ who died and rose, to whom he is united by charity. He bears witness to the truth of the faith and of Christian doctrine. He endures death through an act of fortitude. So perhaps, as contrary to contemporary opinion, the death of a martyr is far from senseless. It is the highest form of giving witness to Christ and the truth of the faith. And perhaps this is a bit connected to a theme that Pope Francis keeps calling us to in his pontificate, to break out of a comfortable cultural Catholicism and to embrace a Catholicism that is more daring and bold. Whenever I think of the martyrs, I often think how I would react. Would I be as strong as a Lorenzo Ruiz? I pray I never have to make that decision, but faced with it, that I might. St. John Paul II, finally then, used to say that in the grand designs of Providence, there are no mere coincidences. So truth be told, Lorenzo's martyrdom was no accident. The Lord provided the grace for him to endure the greatest sacrifice a believer might be called to make. May his example of strident faith to the end inspire us to give witness to the faith when we experience the persecutions that we may endure here in this country. And may we take to heart the final beatitude quoted in this morning's opening collect. Blessed are you when they persecute you and utter every kind of insult against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven will be great.